It's a medical procedure to have each other erased from their memories.
I'm erasing you and I'm happy! You did it to me first! I can't believe you did this to me!
Again, that's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, showing Monday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Celie Pines, the director of Design Week Portland, and Vidya Spandana, an innovation consultant for Census Open Innovation Labs. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Design Week Portland happens every year, gets bigger and bigger. This year, it's April 6th to 13th.
That's right.
And Celie, how many events are there? And
there are over 350 things happening between events and open houses, which are sort of part of a design crawl that we do in each quadrant.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so popular? I mean, how many years has it been? Shouldn't you have just like fizzled out by now?
Shouldn't we have? And yet, it's a story of resilience. Well, yes, I think that the reason why it's so popular is because it's a time of year in which everybody can sort of put their intention towards crossing paths with other interesting people, kind of lifting their head up out of their practice and seeing what everyone else is up to and what they can learn from their peers from across all design disciplines. And I also think that year over year, we get the attention of people from outside the design community as well, who are just intrigued by design, want to have conversations about it and hear a little bit more about what happens behind the curtain, especially as just generally, I think, society is becoming more aware of the role of design and the impact that a lot of the decisions that are made by people in the design fields have on everyday life.
So I often go to things like, you know, TED or Creative Conference, and somebody gets up and starts talking about design thinking as though we all know what it is, like layperson. Mm-hmm. And is that what you're talking about, like this idea of design being essential to almost everything we do?
I think design thinking is part of it, and design thinking being really just the process of a well-considered approach to something, a human-centered approach to thinking through solutions for things. But I also think that just in general, with digital media and also with some of the controversial things that have happened in the technology space, that really there's increasing awareness that decisions that get made by the people that build products, whether they're digital or physical, really have an impact on everyday life. They determine the level of access that people have to certain things. They can shift, you know, major world events. And I think there's just an increased sophistication around that. And we're in a moment where even the average layperson is aware that something is happening and that there are small numbers of people in rooms somewhere that make these things happen.
Are you talking mainly about social media there?
I think social media, absolutely. Like 2018 was the year that even, you know, someone who's not, does not consider themselves very, you know, plugged in or techie started realizing, wow, this is having a major impact on the way that things are happening in the world. But I also even think that, you know, the consumer sophistication is to the point where people know that design is being used by corporations to change the way that they feel about products through marketing, and, you know, even things like, oh, a new logo design coming out from a brand gets popular conversation around it.
Tillamook.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think in general, people are more aware that design is something that someone is doing and are interested in what goes into it. And within the design community, even if you are a practitioner in a certain discipline, you have a curiosity about how someone from a different discipline thinks and approaches their work. So if you are a graphic designer, it's really fascinating to hear the perspective of an architect. And an architect is really interested in the way digital designers think, because user experience is actually really similar in those two different disciplines, but the craft of actually addressing how users customers feel is very different.
You mean user experience, the walking through a building,
sure,
is now the same as clicking around?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I actually sat on a panel with an architect a couple of years ago and was talking about you know, digital user experience and customer touch points and the customer journey and all that kind of stuff. And he was really geeking out because he was like, oh, this is exactly what we think about when we're designing spaces, but I guess I didn't consider that in the digital space it's the same. And that's becoming all the more true as we see emerging technology coming online, and digital designers who had been working in two dimensions are now being asked to think in three dimensions, and a lot of the architectural kind of best practices are starting to become more relevant in the lives of people who were kind of designing in two dimensions up to now.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the, you know, to circle back to this idea of, you know, why are people so excited to engage during a festival like Design Week? It's because it gives them permission to really have those collisions with other people who are thinking about similar things, care about similar things, but maybe coming at them from different perspectives and through different practices.
Yeah, I talked to a company called The Wild who make virtual reality stores. So they'll build like a sportswear store, and then the people who own the store can go look at it, walk around in it, and say, no, we don't like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just being done now.
Right. And things
it's
like
not
that
futuristic.
Things like that used to have to be done physically in physical prototypes, which was wasteful both in the sense of material fabrication and in the sense of time. And the ability to actually envision these things in a way that is tangible at human scale through VR is absolutely taking people who were maybe brand designers who are thinking about retail spaces and putting them in the space of architectural thinking. And The Wild is a really interesting group, as is Torch, and they're both involved in Design Week this year in various ways, because they're trying to solve kind of problems of designing through these 3D tools that have no precedent in user experience. So they're kind of needing to solve paradigms of like, how do you move from one project that you're looking at in human scale and then zoom out of it into another project, or really just even basic questions of how can you and another collaborator be in that virtual space together and not get in each other's way and have something weird happen? Like, how does it feel in those tools?
Yeah.
And how can designers use those tools to create, you know, with, again, more efficiency, more creativity? How can you remove barriers, essentially, but really operate in a new paradigm that has not been solved for yet? And it's really kind of inspiring to see all of these different modes of design thinking kind of converging in one product development process where it is very much digital, it is very much architectural, it is very much social. It's all of those things in a new space.
The thing that surprised me about The Wild is your avatars meet in this space, and then you hold up this sort of rectangles, like a picture frame, and you say, come into my portal, and you like dive through this hole in time space, and then you're in with them some in some other place, which is totally different.
I mean, think about all of the decisions that had to go into how to create that space, that virtual space. It's, you know, you have to solve this question of how are avatars even represented in that space, and how do they interact with each other, and how do they move in a way that isn't, like, frankly, like vomitous, you know, like users are not accustomed to moving in those spaces, and designers are being asked to kind of solve for not just what's a user going to feel like, but kind of the meta question above that of like, what is this world to begin with in which they're going to be operating and designing together? So I think those are, you know, those are really interesting things that are happening right here in Portland by startups that are kind of addressing this product niche of, you know, who are the people that feel the most urgency around having a collaborative space, and its designers, and really meeting that need very specifically by solving these kind of never before seen user interaction questions.
So at Design Week Portland, these people might be up on stage somewhere talking about their work.
They are. And actually, there are two design directors from The Wild and from Torch that are going to be on a panel together at 52 Limited. They're hosting a sort of roundtable conversation between women who are in leadership positions in AR, VR roles. And it's going to be a super exciting panel where they're kind of talking to people across all different contexts, whether it's, you know, client-facing roles or, you know, in-house product design roles, where they're really like confronting these questions and kind of in a whole new space of trying to figure it all out. And I think Torch is actually also doing a sort of a workshop around user experience and how to use AR in new ways. It's called the Next UI. It's sort of the layered case for everything AR. That's going to be on Tuesday, April 9th.
Would you say the content of these talks is getting a bit more cerebral and a bit more kind of meta than 20 years ago? Would people be talking about how to use Adobe, you know? What's going on generally?
Well, I think actually what's kind of exciting is that a lot of them are in a pretty... there's, of course, a philosophical layer to all of this, and I think we can all acknowledge that we're sort of in a human evolutionary moment of thinking, like, how does AI fit into the landscape with humans and machine learning and robots and all of that? Like, I think there's a lot of hand-wringing, rightly, and anxiety, rightly, but also a lot of really engaging philosophical questions around that. But I think what we're seeing in Portland that's kind of cool is like there's all of that philosophical thinking happening, and there's a lot of really like on the ground, you know, tactical work happening of just kind of let's figure out what these tools even can do. Do we want to apply some of this into the educational space or into a cultural space or into a civic space. Instrument is hosting Adam Garcia's talk show.
You work at Instrument.
I do. And Adam Garcia has been doing a talk show for a few years in Design Week, and he kind of changes the focus every year, and this year is kind of about like feels, like, you know, very, very touchy-feely.
Feels.
But one of the speakers is Thomas Wester, who has done a ton of work in mixed realities. He used to be the innovation director for Second Story, and he worked with Oregon Storyboard for a long time, doing a lot of their kind of educational efforts around VR and AR. And He and Ben Purdy opened a new studio called Glowbox that's really kind of prospecting in mixed reality work. Like, and what I mean by that is that they're kind of looking for new applications for VR and AR that aren't in the entertainment space and aren't in kind of like the well-worn commercial uses of it. So they're partnering with a lot of cultural institutions. They did a thing with NASA. They're doing data visualization through VR. Like, there's a lot of kind of, again, open-minded thinking in this space in Portland that I think is really exciting and unusual. Just a really rich space of smart and talented people who are trying to, you know, press on these questions, but in a very hands-on way, like trying to create projects, create tools, create real traction around some of these things by trying things.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Seely Pines, director of Design Week Portland, and Vidya Spandana. She's an innovation consultant. So, Vidya, just tell us a bit in detail about what your thing is in Design Week Portland. It's to do with the census and getting the word out. So,
correct. So our event is on April 11th at 6 p.m. and it's called Creatives for the Count. And the idea is to bring together the creatives of the Portland community. And when I say creatives, I'm talking about designers, illustrators, writers, students, professionals, folks that are even just managing social media. Anybody who is making things digitally is welcome to come and participate in a 3-4 hour make-a-thon type event.
So a make-a-thon is like a hackathon?
It's like
a hackathon. You show up to do something.
Yeah, you show up with your laptop, because that's what our tools lately, and we will have a group of speakers that give context about why the census is relevant and important and necessary for creatives to start thinking about and for creatives to start engaging with. We're really partnering with local nonprofits that are already doing census outreach work. It's primarily targeted towards hard-to-count populations. These are groups who historically have been undercounted, not counted at all, and therefore lose out on representation and funding from the federal sources.
Like who? Who's undercounted?
Indigenous populations, usually any groups that have been marginalized historically over the course of our country's, you know, history. And there have been times where certain groups haven't been allowed to be counted. And so fighting all of that cultural, history and, precedence, really what we want to do is put together some more creative, more relevant, more relatable content assets that local nonprofits can use to reach these hard-to-count populations.
So for the lay listener, what is an asset?
Right. Assets are all the things that you see when you're scrolling down on your phone in Instagram and you're looking at images, you're looking at videos, you're looking at GIFs and memes. All of those things count as digital assets. These are things that these nonprofits really need, because the alternative is what they have are PDFs or giant documents or, videos that aren't really very compelling. It's just hard for them to take that message and put it through a very compelling, interactive, engaging format that can reach people that are on their phone, people that are on their Facebook accounts or their Instagram accounts. So the idea is to bring these communities of creatives together to make something that's pretty easy to make within a 3-hour time frame. So we're not asking for big production value, high production videos or things like that. So things that you can just come in and sort of make together with a group of friends.
Say if you are a big nonprofit like ERCO or something, I don't know, just and they're sitting there and some designer's sitting there, do they talk to each other and say, I can do you a funny GIF? Is it that simple?
Yeah, it is that simple. We will have these nonprofits present a little bit of the messaging that would be appropriate. They've been doing a lot of work on research on what type of messaging works the best for what types of populations. And so we have that work already done, and it's sort of distilled into these quick kind of bullet points. And folks will just have to take a look at those, see what resonate with them personally, and get to it. Get to making just even as something as simple as a series of Facebook posts would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So really the bar is not super high. That's why we call it as generically as possible, involving anybody who calls themselves a creative is invited. Students are especially encouraged to attend. There's a wonderful opportunity to engage in a social impact type of project that a lot of creatives, designers that are working professionally don't often get a chance to engage in, especially if they're working for clients that are oftentimes commercial large companies. They don't really get to express their talents for that type of outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So this becomes an opportunity to give back and to feel good and to really make a huge difference.
So I do Facebook posts for Art Focus. I take the text, I paste it in, I hit upload photo, and they appear at the bottom, and it doesn't look very good at all. Like, is there some better way of doing it?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a designer in the mix at Design Week that can help you with that, Joseph.
What's new in Facebook posts? Are they lots?
I didn't realize we were doing a social media workshop here.
You're basically saying there's a lot of people out there who need help. Yeah. With design, and this is a venue where it might happen.
Yeah, and really what we're trying to do is work with Portlanders as a experiment, as a test bed, to see if this type of making event can be scaled across the country. This is the first time that we're doing it at this scale. We're working with local nonprofits, local city organizations. The city of Portland is a partner, and we're trying to see if this relationship building could happen in this type of an event.
Mm-hmm.
And especially working with Design Week Portland, it's a really wonderful opportunity to have the eyes of all of these design and creative professionals at the same time. So we can see, does this have the ability to scale across the country in cities all over?
Yeah. And the federal census, are they on your side or?
Oh, yes. The Census Open Innovation Labs is within the Census Bureau at the federal level.
Okay. Right. And they're out there saying we need help reaching everyone.
The goal for the Census Innovation Labs is really to build partnerships between local creative communities and local nonprofits so that they can support each other.
But this might, if it works here, it might happen later in the year in other cities.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. So we'll do a big debrief after this event and see what lessons we've learned are. One other thread in parallel that we're trying to launch here, and it will be launched during Design Week, is what we're calling a toolkit. This is a step-by-step how-to guide for creatives to get them informed about why the census matters, why it's important, and then give them a few of these messages that I mentioned from different nonprofits, so that they can create this type of content on their own and upload it to a bigger national site so that lots of nonprofits around the country can work with those assets that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And that group is also based in Portland, creating that type of content to, you know, that's another way of testing out if we can scale this program.
Mm-hmm. When is the census?
The census starts April 1st, 2020. So we've got just about a year before it kicks off.
Great. So, Celie, the Design Week Portland has gone to a kind of year-round subscription model for the online section.
Right.
But you still got to buy tickets to these events, right?
Yes. So a couple of things there. We're shifting from just being a design festival that activates the community once a year for a week of this kind of programming and engagement to more of a year-round model where we can serve the community that we engage during that festival between festivals as well.
And you're doing the open houses, which is...
It is four nights. We divide it by quadrant. It's starting on Monday the 8th, and it's running through Thursday the 11th. What's cool about that is that it's sort of like a design crawl. You can really get a lot of visibility into different spaces and different creators, just kind of by going from studio to studio. So on Monday, we're going to be in Northwest, and you'll be able to see everything from, you know, the Wacom Center that's hosting some mixed reality stuff there, to, you know, Rack that's going to be opening their doors so you can kind of talk to them. You can go to Work & Co., which is a digital agency, to see how they, you know, design interactive experiences for their clients. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be in Southwest. You know, you can go and have an experience in a retail space that is sort of transformed for that period of time, like Muji and Aesop are both doing activations. Or you can go, you know, see PSU's design students and what they're up to. So you can kind of get a range of things there. On Wednesday, we're going to be in North and Northeast. So you can do everything from, you know, checking out kind of what's going on at Outlet, which is the space that Kate Bingham and Burt curates, where they have Rizzo printers, and there's always just super colorful, amazing posters, and lots of makers that produce things there, to Oddfellows, which is a motion design studio, to see like how they make animations. And then on Thursday, we're going to be in Southeast, and there's typically a huge concentration in Southeast, where you can do everything from visiting the folks at The Wild that you mentioned earlier, who are making a VR tool, to go to see live screen printing at Caesar Palace, or check out a new space that a couple of folks who used to be with Second Story and Skylab opened up, called Plus and Greater Than. And, you know, kind of everything in between. OMFG Co. is open there. So you can see kind of like how they approach brand design. The IPRC is open, so you can kind of see like their zine library and look at all the printing resources they have. It's a real diversity, and everything is free and open and doesn't really require registration, really. It's kind of come as you are, and it's between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. every day from April 8th to the 11th.
Mm-hmm. And just quickly, what's the website for the whole Design Week Portland?
Designportland.org.
Okay, so everything you need for the next year to do a design will be there.
Come on down.
I promise. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Seeley Pines, the director of Design Week Portland and VP of Creative at Instrument, and Vidya Spandana. She's an innovation consultant for the Census Open Innovation Labs. Thanks so much for coming back to KBOO.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Add him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Let Your Mind Bloom Spring SciTech Fair on Sunday, April 7th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Rosewood Initiative in Portland. Let Your Mind Bloom Spring Psychic Fair features practitioners and healers from many different modalities, as well as local vendors, arts and crafts, and a fairy photo booth. Again, that's Let Your Mind Bloom Spring Psychic Fair on Sunday, April 7th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Rosewood Initiative, 16126 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Challenging the Both Sides Narrative is a talk by Dr. Stanislav Vysotsky. This talk will provide an overview of contemporary fascist and anti-fascist movements with a focus on the key differences between them. Again, that's Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Ooh, all of you fascists bound to lose.
Just a minute. Good afternoon. It's just about top of the noon hour, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Oregon Symphony's Concert for the Community, Saturday, April 13th, celebrating music of the Americas with music of North, Central, and South America, featuring performance by Hillsborough's Mariachi Una Voz. More information at orsymphony.org. Coming up after a little prelude with, or a music interlude of John Coltrane, will be Buscando America. Mm-hmm.